We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
You personally?
I think we ain't done yet.
Welcome to another edition of the Butting Heads Podcast, part of Rams Talk Radio and the Blue Wire Podcast Network, the best place for your podcast. I'm Steve Rivero. Here's always my guy, Johnny Gomez. Johnny, we are filling out the sheet, the rundown for today's pod, and man, are we in the off season, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of the part of the off season that Steve and I kind of dread because, I mean, it's like we're kind of grasping at straws here. It's still, to be honest, it's still not the worst part of the off season yet. I feel like that's going to happen in June. Yeah, I would say in June.
Yeah, June's always a low point. July's low too, but we can at least like start previewing the season, and we can't really do that yet in June.
So yeah, this is truly like the worst part of the off season, but at least, hey, we have a few topics, Steve.
We do, yeah. We're starting this podcast a little late tonight because I wanted to watch the Sixers game. Boy, what a massive fucking waste of time that was. So we're gonna move on from that. We don't need to talk about that ever again. Let's start with the undrafted free agents, Johnny. The Rams picked up 17 of them. I'm just going to run through the list of names here. I did a little research on some of them. Just not much out there on these guys. So I don't know. We'll see how they are. But here's the full list. Guard Jack Snyder out of San Jose State. Tight end Jamal Pettigrew out of McNeese State. Tight end Roger Carter, Georgia State. Wide receiver Lance McCutcheon, Montana State. Inside linebacker Jay Cummel, Iowa State. Four edge rushers, outside linebackers. They got Braden Thomas out of North Dakota State, Benton Whitley out of Holy Cross, Andre Hughes Murray, maybe? I don't know. Out of Oregon State, Nor might be able to tell me how to pronounce that. Keir Thomas out of Florida State, Deion Noble out of North Texas. Oh, sorry, we're in a different position now. Interior defensive lineman, Deion Noble out of North Texas. Another interior defensive lineman, Elijah Garcia out of Rice. Cornerback T.J. Carter out of TCU. Cornerback Caesar Dancy-Williams out of Wisconsin. Cornerback Duron Lowe out of Liberty. So even after drafting three cornerbacks, they add three more. Safety Jaron McVay out of Baylor. Safety Dan Esom out of Washington State. And punter Cameron Dicker out of Texas. Let's save the punter for a minute because that's obviously the one I'm most excited about. But Johnny, anyone on this list that caught your eye that stood out to you out of any of these guys?
There's a few. I like how you said you would want to save the punter though. Well, I mean that's the most Steve thing you've ever said.
Well, because like realistically, that's the only guy on the team who actually has a chance to be a day one starter here. I mean, you never know, but like the realest chance by a long mile is a guy winning the punting job. So I think we could talk about him separately, and if we think there's actually a chance it could happen. But I want you to educate me on some of these other guys, because when I was Googling a lot of them, there's not much to look at in terms of scouting these guys, and I'm not gonna go watch a bunch of Georgia State tape.
Well, I mean, to be fair, a lot of these guys that the Rams targeted in undrafted free agents are from really, really small schools. And basically, you know, a lot of these guys are, I imagine the Rams are going to go in with the expectation is that they're going to be at best camp bodies. And maybe you'll have a few that, you know, sneak their way onto the practice squad. And the very select chosen few, maybe one or two players, will actually make the active roster. That being said, one guy that really catches my attention is the offensive guard, Jack Snyder from San Jose State. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I watched a lot of this guy in college, because the dude played from San Jose State. You know, I don't watch a whole lot of San Jose State, but I did. He was one guy that I did actually watch a little bit of tape on, because what kind of caught my eye about him is he's pretty fucking massive. You know, he's 6'5". He weighs over 300 pounds. Typically speaking, I mean, you know, yeah, you get guards that are roughly this size as well. But, you know, for them to go undrafted and you know, guys that don't get picked up in like the sixth or seventh round, it's kind of rare that, you know, teams don't at least throw a sixth or seventh round pick at him. He's a really good size in that regard. So that's what immediately caught my eye. Because a lot of times when guards or centers get undrafted, they're usually undersized. They don't offer a lot more than camp body type of players. But every now and then, there's that one guy that comes out there. I mean, last year's Alaric Jackson is a good indicator of that. But what I particularly liked about this guy is when I saw his tape, he was very consistent overall as a player, as a starter at San Jose State. He actually looked like someone that played very consistently at a high level, which, hey, again, take that for what it's worth for an undrafted free agent, but you can't have too many big bodies in the offensive line. So I'm all for Jack Snyder being someone that potentially, you know, plays into at least the practice squad.
Yeah, man's a unit. And when you're that big, yeah, that's the kind of guy like you want to pick up in undrafted free agency, and the kind of guy that I would love if he doesn't make the team, which who knows. It seems like a great dude to just add to your practice squad, potentially develop into a backup that you could have, maybe a starter, who knows. It is, yeah, you know, I can't imagine. I'd be very surprised if we walked in and competed for the starting guard job, but shit, that's wide open, man. You know, anyone really on the roster can win that job if they prove themselves in camp. And you never know. It was nice to add a guard. I'm honestly a little surprised that he was the only offensive lineman they added here. Obviously, they prioritized some other positions of need here. They grabbed four edge rushers. None of them particularly jump off the page. Looks like Keir Thomas had a pretty nice year at Florida State. Obviously, guys like Braden Thomas, Brandon Whitley out of North Dakota State, and Holy Cross, you know, smaller school guys that could potentially have some potential. You got to hope like one of those guys is good enough to make the roster, but I think it's certainly not a guarantee at all. I mean, with any undrafted free agents in any years. And usually we have a couple guys that make the roster. Somebody put out a tweet recently. I saw that there was more undrafted free agents in the Hall of Fame than number one picks, which, like, no shit, man. There's thousands of them. No fucking kidding. But yeah, I mean, like, you look at the positions. I like what they added here positional wise. I don't really know a ton about any of these guys. Obviously, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I watched some of the tapes of the two or YouTube highlights of the tight ends they grabbed. Roger Carter out of Georgia State is an absolute unit. It's also very slow, but I mean, you never know. I mean, you could develop into a blocking tight end, and we could definitely use that with some semblance of hands. So I don't mind the crop. I mean, I still got to dig into these guys a little bit. We'll see what they do in the preseason, but positional wise, it's not too crazy. I mean, they took a lot of cornerbacks this year, but still a lot of uncertainty there besides Jalen Ramsey. So I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Another guy that kind of stuck out to me, and this guy I did watch a lot of because being a Pac-12 fan, was safety Daniel. I think I'm saying his last name right. Isom. I could be wrong.
Seems this right.
This is the time of year where Steve and I butcher names. But yeah, I did actually watch a little bit of him because I love watching the Pac-12, particularly UCLA. But Washington State is definitely a team that, well, let's just say they haven't had great seasons in recent memory. But, you know, one of the things is they do produce, you know, some standouts here and there. And while Isom isn't technically a standout, he's a guy that is a bit of a difference maker. But with what kind of struggles with him is things like he's a bit undersized. You know, I'm looking at the stats here. He's only 5'10", so a tad bit undersized, and you know, only weighing 191 pounds. So I have to say, I imagine it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle, especially considering the plethora of safeties that the Rams drafted. But you know, if he works hard at it, I feel like the Rams have had a big eye on safeties, especially undrafted safeties as well. So if anything, maybe he could wiggle his way onto the practice squad. But it's someone to keep an eye out for. You know, just because the Rams went and drafted a few guys doesn't mean that, you know, they're completely completely etched onto the roster. You know, if they're not up to snuff, you know, the Rams have made it clear in the past that just because they're drafted doesn't mean that they are guaranteed a spot.
Yeah, especially with a lot of the late day three guys, they're certainly not locks to make the roster. And it's kind of interesting what they didn't sign here. No running backs. Obviously, they drafted what's his name? Kieran Williams. Did I get that right? Hell yeah.
You did.
I don't know why I had a brain fart there. They only bring in one wide receiver, and they didn't draft any either. Lawrence McCutcheon out of Montana State. It's kind of a go-up-and-grab-it type guy. If you watch his highlight, it's a lot of them chucking it deep and him going up to get it. He's very good at going up and getting it. Not convinced that that's going to translate for him to the next level. I mean, obviously, it doesn't seem like most scouts are either. So we'll see. It'll be if they don't add Odell, I mean, it seems like the receiver room probably going to be locked at Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Ben Skowronek, and Tutu Atwell, plus Brandon Powell, if you count him. I mean, it seems like it if they don't sign Odell. Jesus Christ. I'm not used to podcasting this late anymore. If they don't sign Odell, I mean, you got to think they add somebody just for a camp body, because Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson are not stepping on the field in the preseason. And so and Van Jefferson's probably not either. So who is John Wolford going to throw the ball to? I guess if Jacob Harris, I always forget he's a wide receiver. But still, I mean, I would imagine they add somebody else.
I think that's basically Sean McVay and Les Snead's attitude going into the season is, you know, finding out who's that clear cut number four guy. Are they gonna try and make it that the speedster Tutu Atwell? Are they gonna try and go after, you know, Jacob Harris, who, you know, drew a lot of attention obviously during the training camp last year, and a little bit, actually no, not even during the preseason. It was just training camp hype.
He did a little in the preseason, but not a ton.
Yeah, it was mainly just training camp hype. And then, of course, your boy, Ben Skoranek, another opportunity for him to make a name for himself. So if I had to guess, that's what the plan is. And then, of course, being drafted free agent.
Yeah, and not to cut you off, but the Rams roster page didn't show the reserve futures guys. It was under it. So they still have, like, J.J. Koski and Warren Jackson and Landon Akers, who I've never even heard of. They have bodies to throw at. All right, let's talk about Cameron Dicker, dude.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rams signed a punter in free agency. Riley Dixon, right, from the Giants. And then rather than draft a punter in this draft, you know, I wouldn't have minded getting one in like the seventh round, but we mentioned this in last week's pod, four punters went, so you aren't getting the cream of the crop anyways. They go and grab Cameron Dicker out of Texas, who you can imagine is going to compete with Riley Dixon, unless they go out and grab somebody else, which, I mean, we'll see. I don't really envision that happening. Dicker, looked him up. He was a 4-year kicker at Texas, pretty good kicker. He went all comp in his senior year. He shifted to punter. I think he played both, and he went all conference as a punter in his 1 year as a punter. So you bring in a guy that can do a little bit of both, kick and punt, in case Matt Gay gets hurt. You know, it's usually you're doomed with kickers when your punter gets hurt. But if this is the guy that ends up making the team, that's a nice advantage to have. In the event of somebody getting hurt, and seems like a pretty decent punter. Yeah, I haven't watched his highlights yet. I will, believe me. But I mean, what do you think here, man? I am excited to have another year of an actual special teams battle in the preseason, like we had with Corey Borquez last year, and the disastrous kicker battle from 2020.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't miss that kicking battle. Oh, I'm glad we found Matt Gay. This is an interesting pickup because the Rams did have every opportunity to add a punter if they felt like that was a glaring need, and ultimately passed on him, which was a little surprising why they went after Dicker the kicker.
There you go.
I don't know why I like that so much, but it's just awesome. But yeah, Cameron Dicker, he brings a different battle here, because while Riley Dixon is someone that I thought is gonna be the sure starter, I mean, obviously the addition of Dicker changes things a lot, and I think with Dixon, the kind of the kind of advantage that he brings is, in a way, he was similar to Johnny Hecker in that he is a capable passer as a punter, which obviously we've seen in the past work, even though for whatever reason the Rams kind of went away with that for the past couple of seasons, though the last attempt didn't go over so well, so maybe that's why. So that could be something to consider as well. Riley Dixon has that same advantage or similar advantage that Johnny Hecker had, but Cameron Dicker has that kind of advantage where if something were to happen to Matt Gay, he could also play kicker. But at the same time, I mean, another thing to consider is Matt Gay is basically on borrowed time until the Rams are able to sign him to a long-term deal. Now, while kickers don't make the most money in the NFL, the Rams count their pennies. So that could make all the difference.
I do think they'll pay him, though. I think after 2020, they're gonna pay him. He's going to get, like, big kicker money, but I don't think he's gonna get like the highest paid kicker in the league. I mean, who fucking knows though? And with Cameron Dicker, even if they don't envision him as even competing for the starting punter job, you get a guy that can kick and punt. And so if you're convinced that Riley is your guy, you don't have to play him in the preseason. This guy can do both for you. If you just need somebody to get you through camp, and maybe you keep on the practice squad if you have a spare spot, just in case something happens. But I love the move, man. You know, I'm excited about this shit.
So it's Dicker the kicker versus Dixon the punter. Yeah, it's not as fun with Dixon.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? I'm pulling for Cameron Dicker just for the fact that I could say Dicker the kicker.
That's as good of a reason as there's ever been. Anything?
Go ahead.
Anything coming out of this draft that you feel like we learned about Wes Snead or the Rams or how they're feeling?
There's quite a few things I felt like I learned. I felt like the Rams are at the very least comfortable at wide receiver. And it also may be an indicator that they feel like they could bring back Odell Beckham, which is odd to me because during the NFL draft, I lost all hope when Odell tweeted that, you know, the Rams need to make him a real offer.
So yep.
that made me, I was like, man, I guess Odell ain't coming back. But the fact the Rams had all kinds of opportunities to add wide receivers in this year's draft, didn't bother to add them. And then even the undrafted free agents, we only added one, right? One?
Yeah, one.
Yeah. So to me, that tells me that the Rams are either confident that they're bringing back Odell, or at the very least, they're comfortable with the current receiving core, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, and I think it signals that they are confident enough in Skowronek and Tutu Atwell, you know, not because you're with or without Odell, you're starting three are set. It's going to be Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, and then Van Jefferson. Even if we sign Odell, it's going to be Van Jefferson until Odell gets healthy. So then you're really trying to fill out that depth, and clearly we needed depth last year because it got rough for times, and we're throwing out guys like Ben Skowronek, who you're kind of keeping on as your depth. I'd imagine he's going to start him and Tutu will compete for the spot of, you know, the next man up in the rotation. I'd imagine if they don't add another body that both Skowronek and Tutu will play this year, you know, not a lot, but like they don't do even remotely the same thing. So like when you're giving your receivers a breather, you're probably going to be spelling one of those two guys in. If it's more of a blocking down, you're probably throwing Skowronek. If it's more of an obvious passing down, you're probably throwing Tutu. So yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting that they really didn't add like anybody here. It seems like historically they would add a couple guys in undrafted free agency, and they didn't.
Another thing to consider is kind of at that same account, the Rams have also had a history of drafting tight ends, even when it was clearly not a need. And this year, you could almost understand if they went after another tight end. And it doesn't seem like they're all that concerned about it. I mean, they did draft, picked up a few undrafted free agents. So I guess that's something. But I mean, if they were all that concerned about it, I feel like they would have drafted one. And, you know, that kind of indicates that they're pretty confident in Kendall Blanton and Bryson Hopkins to an extent, which is interesting because if you were to ask either one of us during the season, I would think that, you know, Bryson Hopkins was a fringe cut candidate and that Kendall Blanton would probably be the same as he's always been, you know, fringe practice squad player. But seems as though that the Rams are confident in them being our backups going into the 2022 season.
Well, if you asked us that at the end of the December, yeah, we would say that. But I think at the end of February, our tunes completely changed on both those guys because Blanton played real well in the playoffs, and Bryson Hopkins showed up out of fucking nowhere to actually look like a productive player in the Super Bowl. So I'm kind of glad they didn't add any bodies here. I think that those guys have earned the rights to be the backups or at least compete for the backup job. I think Blanton will probably end up winning it, but Hopkins showed something as a pass catcher in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think we talked about this in previous pods. We saw plenty enough of Ben Skowronek being actively bad as a receiver to where Bryson Hopkins could have done the same thing and didn't. So that was great to see. I think they've earned it. And you still have Higbee under contract for another year. You know, and I think, like, this team is in win-now mode. Even if they don't keep Higbee after 23, I think you go and get a vet rather than try and develop a tight end because tight ends take a while to develop. And you might, you know, you saw something in Blanton in the playoffs. You saw something in Hopkins, even though it was one game. You still have Jacob Harris, who I know they were saying is a receiver, but you never know. They might try and continue to convert him to tight end. I think there's enough there that you don't need to add anybody. And I think there were some pretty glaring needs that they needed to address and did in the draft, and to a lesser, I mean, also an undrafted free agency too, but it's not as important. So I am perfectly fine with this roster of tight ends going into the season.
Yeah, in terms of offense, the Rams really didn't focus a whole lot in the draft, which is the absolute correct approach. I mean, they did add a few offensive linemen. They did add basically their third down back. But when you think about it, other than Bruss, the rest of them were essentially luxury picks, you know.
They had three picks in the top 165, and two of them were offensive players. So I wouldn't say they didn't prioritize it, but with their six, seventh round picks and their swings in undrafted free agency, yeah, they almost all those swings were taken on defensive guys.
Yeah, and I think that was the right thing to do because, I mean, realistically speaking, your concerns were mostly on defensive side of the ball than on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, were there positions that the Rams could have addressed? Sure. But, I mean, it wasn't a huge need. It was just kind of something, well, it'd be nice if they did this kind of thing. As far as defensively, they completely focused on the secondary. Like, it was pretty much all secondary draft class, which was fine because that was, in my opinion, the biggest concern going into the draft. You could kind of make the argument that guard was the bigger concern, but in my opinion, cornerback was the biggest. And clearly it wasn't just cornerback that they were not so sure on. It was safety as well. I mean, obviously they love Jordan Fuller for good reason, but I mean, it's kind of nice to have depth, especially because Fuller has had some injury problems since joining the Rams. And then on top of that, finding that right piece on the opposite end of them, because again, Taylor Rapp and Nick Scott being your like co-starters on the opposite end is kind of like a kind of vibe. They can surely get the job done with the talent around them, but obviously you wouldn't be 100% confident in that. So I'm glad that they address both, are pretty much all of the secondary.
Yeah, and like the other side of the coin is they didn't address the edge rushing really at all, which I think we, when we said this last week, the team had three big needs going into the draft, and they addressed two of them in a very nice way. They did not address edge rusher. They did in undrafted free agency a little bit. And like historically, when you kind of look at what Les Snead has done drafting since he's taken over, I don't really like, he rarely drafts defensive ends and edge rushers at even like relatively high capital. I mean, looking at, I'm just scrolling through the Rams pick history here. I think the only day one or two guy he's drafted at defensive end or edge rusher was Terrell Lewis, which hasn't really worked out. Samson Ebukam, John Franklin Myers are both fourth round picks, Oboe in the fifth a couple of years ago. So it's not like they haven't addressed it. But I mean, when you look at, like when you look at the structure of this team since he's been here, they inherited Chris Long, Robert Quinn. Those were their guys during the Fisher years. When they moved down from Fish, you go to, they just kept bringing in guys at edge rusher rather than draft and fill the position through there. You talk about Clay Matthews. You talk about who's the fucking guy from the Eagles that we had in Sean McVay's first year?
Oh, damn, what was that guy?
One of our listeners has got to be screaming. Shit, I can't remember his name.
Damn, I'm a brain fart there,
Look
man.
up the 2017 Rams roster we're talking. But clearly they have prioritized adding play in recent years, just adding players at the trade deadline and stuff like that. You know, they, not trade line, but they signed Leonard Floyd to a big deal. They trade for Dante Fowler and re-sign him. They trade for Von Miller and attempted to re-sign him and failed. So it's never been a position that they've prioritized in the draft. And when you have later picks, there aren't it, that edge rusher is a day one pick. If you want to get a quality draft edge rusher in the draft, you probably need to have a first round pick. Otherwise, what the Rams formula is has been working for them. And so I don't really blame them for not addressing it. It's going to be a concern. I think they are confident in Justin Hollins being the guy. Connor Barwin, by the way.
Yeah, I was just about
Connor
to say.
Barwin. I thought I was going to say Connor, but I wasn't 100% sure. I definitely wouldn't remember Barwin. Yeah, they got to be confident in Justin Hollins to not address this like at all. And in theory, they got to be confident in Terrell Lewis as the backup, but I don't think they are. And so, if there is another move to be had by the Rams, it has to be at this position. I would honestly be floored if they bring in anyone of name value besides Odell at a different position. Because, like, I think this is, if they're going to clear out money to sign somebody, and I think the only way they would do that is if they are just certain Odell's not coming back, it's got to be an edge rusher because this is a clear hole on the team. You know, one of the things we talked about, Johnny, was lingering concerns about the Rams. And this is really my only major concern with the team at all, is that there's not really an explosive player next to Leonard Floyd. And Justin Hollins is good enough. You know, I don't think this is going to derail our Super Bowl odds at repeating, but you know, man, you watch this team in the playoffs, and I know your Von Miller is not out there, but like that guy was so huge to have somebody that caliber, and Justin Hollins is not even going to do anything close to that in the playoffs. I would love if they go and get one of these guys that's still floating out there if they can. But I mean, that's really like, you look at this depth chart top to bottom, there's a concern at offensive guard for sure. We'll see what happens. But I think they'll be able to figure it out. This is the biggest hole on the team, I think, right now.
Oh, without a question. And to be fair, I'm right there with you, Steve. I think the only concern, at least major concern, I will say, for the 2022 Rams roster is that, that opposite end of Leonard Floyd. It's a massive hole that was left from Miller when he ended up going to the Bills. But I feel like the situation the Rams have put themselves in, they basically, one of two things is going to happen, as far as the rest of the offseason is concerned. Number one, they're going to bring back Odell. That, I think, is kind of what the entire front office is hoping for. And I think they're going to try to make it happen within reason. And if Odell's wanting a massive payday, I don't know if the Rams are going to be able to. They may want to, but they just may not be financially able to. So that's one instance that may happen. The other instance is I feel like the Rams are going to bring in, an edge rusher. And as much as I'd love it to be Jadeveon Clowney or someone like that, I think more than likely it's going to be a Melvin Ingram type of guy, which, hey, I'd be all for it. I think he would be an upgrade over Justin Hollins. And it's not a knock on Justin Hollins whatsoever. I actually really like Justin Hollins, but I think this is a guy that should have more of a reserve or a situational role as opposed to a, full-out starting role. And then beyond that, I think there would be zero concerns, at least on my end.
Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute button. Yeah, I would love if they bring Melvin Ingram in. I think that's just makes too much sense for both sides to not happen. Like, they have $5 million left in cap space right now, or 5.4, I should say. They'll figure if they can get Ingram and Odell on reasonable contracts. I mean, I think they'll figure out how to do it. I don't think they've restructured everybody, right? Like, I think there's still potential restructures out there that they can make. We'll see if any of that happens, but yeah, I think they got to make that move. I mean, we are also underselling the concern at right guard a little bit. Like, there's definitely concern there, but if Noteboom can be the guy that he looked like last year at left tackle, I don't think having a suspect right guard is going to derail the offense. It certainly won't help, but if Allen can play well and if Noteboom can play well, things we've been saying for years, I think they'll be okay, even if it's Logan Bruce or it's Coleman Shelton in there looking a little rough, but I think Noteboom stepping in and performing is going to be way, way, way more important than what happens at guard, even if his floor is a lot higher than the potential floor of a guy we play at guard, which is it's possible that we don't have a single fucking guy that can play guard on the team. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's possible. I don't really envision that derailing the offense in a way where, like, not having a third guy who could play edge rusher well would set back the defense a little bit. And I think they did address the cornerback with Troy Hill and with all those picks, and I think it's going to go a long way. But there's still enough questions in the secondary to where if the defenses can double, triple Aaron Donald every play and not be worried about pressure getting to the quarterback, then in turn the secondary might not look as good as we'd hope.
To address one thing, in my opinion, I'm more concerned about Noteboom being the left tackle than I am with the guard spot. I think whether it be Coleman Shelton or Logan Bruce, or Bruss, rather, I feel like either one of these guys will, be our future starting guard. Whether or not Bruss is going to come in and be that guy, right away, That's the ultimate question. But I, you know, Coleman Shelton may not be the sexiest name out there for the Rams to have as their starting guard, but we've seen a little bit of him to at least have an idea of what he can do. Not a big sample size, if I'm being honest, but I think that he's certainly capable of being, you know, a decent enough starter. And I think the idea here is to keep in mind that if you're expecting offensive line from last year, I think you're going to be severely disappointed. There's going to be some hiccups along the way, you know, pretty much from you know, left tackle. Obviously, no boom is not Whitworth. And it's going to be an adjustment there. And you're going to have a brand new starting guard. You know, it's not going to be Austin Corbett, who, you know, may have not been the best guard out there, but he was certainly an experienced guy that held down the position for a couple years. So, yeah, there's going to be some learning curve, and it's going to be difficult at first. But I think ultimately Russ is going to, you know, take the starting job eventually. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, but he's also the 104th pick, so I'm not, like, dead set on it happening, you know. I feel good about Noteboom, though. You know, I don't I'm not ready to say he's not going to be Whitworth, but he did look good filling in for Whitworth. I thought he looked like he could handle it. It's going to be a downgrade for sure, but I don't think if he plays well, it's not going to be as big of a downgrade as it feels like it would be going from Andrew Whitworth to Noteboom. Keep in mind, the guy's 40 fucking years old. Like, he still got it, but he's not the same player as he was in 2017. So we'll see there. I'm interested to see how that plays out. Was there any learnings or concerns that we didn't hit?
I think that about covers it.
I will say that this draft, one thing I learned is that there is no shot in hell they're re-signing Daryl Henderson after this season.
Yeah, I think that is a certainty at this point. And unfortunately, it's kind of the way of the running back at this point. Unless you're an absolute bona fide stud, a running back's career is pretty short in the NFL because they're as awful as it is to say, they're kind of a dime a dozen. I mean, we've seen undrafted free agents become studs out of nowhere. And that's about one of the few positions where it happens that often.
And they just, like, nobody invests in it. Like, Sony Michel just got signed today by the Dolphins. Melvin Gordon was sitting on the wire for, like, 4 months. I think that guy's still really good. Nobody picked him up because you could either draft a guy cheap. Like, with running backs, I feel like you're either drafting somebody and that's your guy, or you're one of the five or six teams in the league that has invested heavily in a guy they like. Nobody is going to invest heavily in a guy they don't love. The guys that it's going to be the top 10 running backs are going to get huge contracts, and the next 20 guys are, like, fucked. It's kind of, unfortunately, what that position's become.
And the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, Sony Michel, I kind of feel bad because he's going to an extremely crowded running back core. Like, is he going to play at all in Miami? I mean, this is a running back core that has, what, Chase Edmonds, Miles Gaskin, Raheem Mostert. Like,
I think if there's one thing we can learn from this signing, it's that they do not give a fuck about Miles Gaskin anymore.
I mean, no, I guess not. But, geez, I mean, even if you eliminate Miles Gaskin out of the equation, does Sony Michel get touches with Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert in front of him?
I think he competes with Mostert. I think Edmonds is getting touches no matter what. And I think Mostert and Sonny will compete for the spot next to him. They could play all three guys. Keep in mind that Mostert's has glass bones and paper skin, so there's no fucking way that guy goes 16 games. I hope he does. That'd be great. I got him on one of my dynasty teams, but I think he'll get a little bit of carries. I think really, like, I don't think it's a bad signing for the Dolphins. He's going to play over Gaskin. I think Gaskin might even get cut at this point, looking at what they – there's no way they believe in this guy, and then added three running backs who can all actually play, like are all capable football players. So that's a really interesting situation to watch, but I think he'll likely start the season as a third back, get some carries, but fill in for both of those guys because they're both pretty injury prone when one of them goes out.
Man, that and that pretty much, I mean, if you want to see like the life of a running back, all you got to do is look at the Dolphins roster. You know, basically where running backs die.
It's the best running back core they've had in years.
Yeah, for sure.
That's saying something. Quickly looking at the scheduling rumors and everything that's come out, confirmed the Rams are playing on Christmas Day this year against Denver. So that's exciting. Russell Wilson going up against his boys. Was that a home game? I didn't see if that was a home game.
It is a home game.
Oh, you going?
I'd love to, but I don't know if I could be away from my family on Christmas
Day.
Yeah,
Christmas is tough.
I'm gonna be interested to see like if it's gonna be a packed house on Christmas Day. I find it a little odd to play on Christmas Day, but why not? I guess. I mean, they do it in the NBA.
Well, I like it because I get to watch the game. You know, that's nice.
True.
Yeah, they do it in the NBA, but that's kind of like become their day. So yeah, it's a fun matchup to put on Christmas. I watch it. I also won't
I'll
be there.
Sure, watch it.
The other rumor coming out is that it seems like opening game is going to be Rams Bills, which there's a Von Miller of it all. We're going to raise whatever the NBA NFL equivalent of raising a banner is, which is going to be great. And it's just that's a banger matchup, dude. I would say the two best teams in the league going head to head. I mean, that's a great game to put on opening day. And let's be honest, no offense to anybody, we did not want the 49ers or Cowboys as the opening game because those would not be home games.
Damn.
No offense.
I mean, to be fair, Bills Mafia, they travel well too. So I mean that may not be an opening home game either, but
we'll
yeah,
see.
this is going to be a tough matchup. I mean, obviously this is a, you know, Super Bowl caliber matchup. You know, both of these teams, it would not be inconceivable at the moment for either of these teams to be in the Super Bowl in, you know, next year or this upcoming year rather. So it would be a hell of a matchup. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous of that being the very first game the Rams play against, especially, you know, we just sat here talking about how guard is kind of iffy at the moment and we're readjusting. Yeah, that's not exactly the defense you want to see in the very first game. I mean, really, the Bills have like one of the most complete teams out there, and then they just added Von Miller.
Yeah, I think they're the best team in the NFL. I am not afraid to say that.
I don't know if you can argue against that. You know, they have a hell of a team. Last year, they nearly went to the Super Bowl, except they just kind of blew it. I mean, they couldn't have happened against a better team, though. So, I mean, hard to go up against Mahomes. But... yeah, I think that this is going to be – the funny thing is when I looked at the schedule and I saw the Bills were on the schedule, damn, that's going to be the toughest matchup out of any team the Rams play this year. I picked that one to be the toughest matchup. And and then now that that might be the season opener, I'm like, well, I guess you get the toughest matchup out of the way.
This is the I was trying to think like how we're playing them again so soon because we played them 2 years ago, but it's the new we get to play an extra game because of the 7-game season, and we get to play the fucking Bills, dude. Like, great. Awesome. It's brutal. But yeah, I mean, hey, double-edged sword, you get out of the way first. Either you win, and we're going to take the biggest victory lap of all time, or you lose, and it's like, well, it's the Bills. It's not a big deal. Move on to the next game. You know, you open with, like, the Saints and you lose. That's a whole different story.
I know which game you're looking forward to most, Steve.
In New Orleans against the Saints?
Yep. For those of you who haven't been listening for a while, or are you just tuning in, Steve is a big fan of Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints.
Sean Payton's the most overrated coach in the history of professional sports. It's insane. He had one good year. He's choked in the playoffs on numerous occasions, never taken a shred of responsibility for a team failing. Got fucking suspended for an entire season. We don't talk about that enough. That's never happened before. That'll never happen again. No head coach has ever been... I think when I look this up, no head coach has ever even been suspended by the league for like pretty much anything like in years. And he got suspended for a full year. But it's all Greg Williams' fault. Okay. Okay, dude. You deserve to be played by Kevin James in a movie.
That's Steve holding back, by the way.
God. All right. You got anything else on this pod? Nice little 50-minute May pod.
No, I think we've kind of talked a little bit too much. So we got to save that talking for the lovely topics. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll compare players to pizza this time around. You know, we compared players to soda in the past. You know, that was all Steve's idea. And you know what? I wasn't mad about it. It was a freaking awesome idea.
Aaron Donald, definitely the cheese pizza from John's on Bleecker Street in the West Village of Manhattan, because there's nothing you can do to improve that product.
I will have to take your word for it. And I may, if I'm ever in the New York area, I may have to get in contact with you to find out the Aaron Donald pizza, because... I am what you call a pizza connoisseur, so yes, I need to try that.
Yeah, man, you got to make the pilgrimage. Whenever you do, we'll get some Johns. All right, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Cervero, at Johnny596, at Talk Rams. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't. It goes a long way, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
You personally?
I think we ain't done yet.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.